Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend. Sometimes in life we need help, right? Sometimes in life we need our own Simon of Cyrene to give us a hand, to help us along with our cross or with some difficult task. And even when it's not absolutely necessary, sometimes it's a good thing just to ask for help. Ask for someone to give you a hand and help you along as part of being in the human family. But we've all had the experience, on the other hand, where someone should know what to do or how to accomplish the task, and they kind of pretend not to know, or not to know what to do or how to do. And I'll give you an example, okay? Maybe an example from my own childhood. It's time to do the math homework, right? Got to do the math homework, but I can't find a pencil. Can't possibly do the math homework. I'll find something else to do. Or maybe the grass needs to be cut, but there's no gas in the lawnmower, so how is it possible to overcome this obstacle, right? But with a little bit of effort, we probably could have overcome those obstacles. With a little bit of effort, we would know what we need to do. I can say with some confidence, we've all faced some situation at work or in our lives at some point where with some effort, with some prayer, with some humility to really stop and seek a way, we would know. We would know what needs to be done. The problem is actually doing it. Here in the Old Testament reading, the reading from Deuteronomy, we have this truth explained for us. The commandments of God. Moses is giving the commandments of God to the people. He's given the commandments of God to you and to me. He's telling us how we should live, what we should do. And so Moses said to the people, "This command that I enjoin on you today, it's not too mysterious. It's not remote. It's not up in the sky. It's not across the ocean." That you would say, who's going to get it for us? Who's going to tell us how to live, how to do this? Moses goes on to say, no, it's something that's very near to you. It's already in your mouth. It's already in your heart. You just have to do it. You just have to live it. And that sets us up a little bit for the story of the Good Samaritan, the story of the Merciful Samaritan. When we look at the story, we hear that there is a scholar of the law, and the scholar of the law stands up to ask Jesus a question. Now, when we hear scholar of the law or lawyer, we may think of someone that has gone to school for civil law and how society works and who should go to jail and that kind of stuff, okay? But when the Bible speaks of the scholar of the law, they're thinking of the first five books of the Old Testament. The first five books of the Old Testament were called the law. That's what they were known as, the law, or the Torah. And so this man was a scholar of the first five books of the Old Testament. One of those books is Deuteronomy, which we had the reading from earlier tonight. Okay. And so the scholar of the law stands up to ask Jesus a question. And he actually has two questions for him. And he knows the answer certainly to the first question. And while he's going to pretend that he doesn't know the answer to the second question, Jesus is going to prove to him that he does know the answer to the second question. He just has to think about it a little bit. He just has to allow that truth to come out of him. So, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Essentially, he's asking the question to Jesus, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to go to heaven? What must I do to enter the kingdom of God? That's the question posed to Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, you're a scholar of the law. What's in the law? How do you read it? And then we hear this answer. It's a very famous answer, isn't it? We should all be familiar with this answer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the answer that the lawyer gives to his own question. And Jesus says to him, you have answered correctly. But now we get to kind of the problem with the lawyer. The problem with the scholar of the law in this dialogue with Jesus is not that he was seeking the answer from Jesus. Luke describes to us that he wasn't seeking the answer from Jesus. Rather, he was seeking to justify himself. And I'll read it for you right off the page, right out of the sacred scriptures. But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, to be justified, to be made just, to be made righteous, to be made holy. Brothers and sisters, you are not going to justify yourself. Jesus is going to justify you. If you're going to be made right, if you're going to be made holy, if you're going to be made just, you are going to be made right, holy, and just because Jesus enters into you and his love and law is planted in you. But this lawyer begins a dialogue with Jesus, asks these questions, wants to justify himself, and says, so who is my neighbor? Now, it happens that in the Old Testament, there is a passage that says, you will love your neighbor, and it seems to indicate that your neighbor is the sons of your kinsmen. And so this limits who the neighbor that you have to love is. But if you keep reading on the same page, you get a little further down, and it says, not only do you love the son of your kinsmen, you also love the alien and the orphan and the widow and those who you find in your land. And the scholar of the law should know this. In fact, he does know this. So Jesus asks this question, or doesn't ask the question. He responds to who is my neighbor by telling this beautiful story, this powerful story of the Good Samaritan or the Merciful Samaritan. A man fell victim to robbers. He's half dead, beat, naked, side of the road. Two people, two priests, two officials of the old covenant pass by him. They see him. Not only do they not help him, they cross the road, walk on the other side, go around him. And so the story continues to unfold. A Samaritan sees him, has compassion on him, goes over to him, pours oil and wine on his wounds, bandages his wounds, puts him on his own animal, takes him to an inn, cares for him, pays for his care, gives the innkeeper extra money and says, I'll be back to see how he's doing. Now I ask you all, which one treated him like a neighbor? Yeah, we already know, don't we? Yeah, no one has to tell us that. It's already in us. But what we might have to do is we might have to stop and enter a dialogue with Jesus about it. What do we call it when we enter a dialogue with Jesus? When we're talking to Jesus and we're listening to Jesus, we call that praying, okay? And so when we pray, when we open ourselves before the mystery and the majesty and the wisdom of Almighty God, we will find that we know so much of the truth is already written in our heart. And why is it already written into our heart? Because you and I, brothers and sisters, we were made in the image and likeness of God. Now that image and likeness of God was broken, was distorted by sin. And still in the world today, we can fall prey to the voices of falsehood, the sound of lies, and we can believe them. But you and I were created to know the truth and follow the truth. God's command is written into us. It's as if we have a tuning fork in our heart, that our heart is a tuning fork, and when it gets the harmony of God's voice, it registers and says, that's true. Now, if we expose ourselves to lies and falsehood, and we sin enough ourselves, we can almost change our internal tune, right? And if we do that, then we're lost. But still, we're never so lost that the voice of truth is gone from us. God has created us to know what is true. And what is true is this, that when we see somebody in need, we don't walk by on the other side, that we have compassion on them. In other words, when it says that the Good Samaritan or the Samaritan had compassion on him, that word literally means he suffered with him. He saw his suffering, and his suffering became the Samaritan's suffering. And he said, I have to do something for this man. Now, my brothers and sisters, nobody needs to tell us. We don't have to read it in a book. You don't have to hear it from Father Mike that's the way you want to be treated, right? And what's the great commandment? To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor just as you are loving yourself. And if you were half dead on the side of the road, you would want someone to come pick you up, right? Of course you would. And so we see again how these truths are given to us by Almighty God. And so we have the beautiful story, the difficult story, the challenging story of the merciful, the good Samaritan who had compassion on the man who was robbed. So, what is my challenge to you tonight? My challenge to you tonight is to spend time listening to the voice of God. We have to pray. We have to meditate. We have to let ourselves be tuned to the voice of God. See, we have a lot of voices in the world that are saying a lot of crazy stuff. We have a lot of voices in the world that are loud, that are come blaring to us out of the radio and the television, that are trying to change the tune of God's goodness in us. And we have to allow God to speak to us by taking the time to be silent, to be present. This is what the scholar of the law may not have been properly motivated, but what did he do? He entered into a conversation with Jesus. And when he entered into that conversation with Jesus, Jesus began to uncover in him what he already knew to be true. And so God has written it into our hearts. God has written it into your hearts. And I promise you, I'm going to take it easy on you. I promise you, I could preach a whole nother sermon or two on this gospel, okay? And I'll just give you a little hint, okay? Just a little tiny hint. This man half dead on the side of the road, isn't it kind of curious that he poured water or wine and oil on his wounds? Wine and oil, strange things to pour on somebody's wounds, but this is a symbol of the sacraments of the church. The Holy Eucharist, the anointing of the oil, and the anointing of the sick. Okay, so there is this figurative language that's being used. And so the priest and the Levite, they were officials of the temple. The priest especially would offer sacrifice in the temple. And the Old Testament sacrifices, could they help this man on the side of the road? Nope. It was going to take the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to save the half-dead man. And my brothers and sisters, we're all the half-dead man. We've all run into the robber, and the robber is Satan, and he has beat us down, and Jesus comes to pick us up, put us on his own animal, and pay the price for our healing. So I could preach a whole nother sermon about that, but I'm not gonna, okay? I'm just gonna say to you that you know the law of God is written in your heart. Listen to Jesus. Pray.